Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to make our way through this first week of Advent, fantastic part of the church year. We're beginning the church year, the cycle. The church leads us through the Paschal mystery, the life, passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, his ascension into glory, the establishment of the church. And every year, the church takes us by the hand and, like a great storyteller, reminds us who we are. What's this all about? Where do we come from? Who's the Lord? Who's God? Who am I? What's the unfolding story of the human race? And nobody knows it like the church, because the church is given revelation from God to understand the meaning of life. And without understanding the meaning of life, its purpose, its origin, its design, what it's there for, it's impossible to evaluate it accurately. And so every day people are telling different stories about the meaning of it all. And it's so important for us as disciples, and this is why the church in this hour, in this season of Advent, always leads us to the place where Jesus wants us to be, and that is to be in a position of preparedness, to be alert, to be awake, to be sober, to be clear-headed, to put first things first, to put God the Father first, the relationship with God, our love of neighbor, a right kind of love for self. It's so important. We don't talk about that very much, because the great commandment Jesus called the greatest and the first is, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two great commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe one of the reasons why it seems like we don't know how to love our neighbor very well is because we don't know how to love ourselves properly. There's a lot of inordinate self-love that's in us. That is, the self has been enthroned in me. That's the result of the fall. Me first. Me, mine, mine, right? It's in us. My will be done, not God's will be done or other people's will be done. Why should they be first? Why not me? Why should I forgive that person? They didn't ask for forgiveness of me. Why should I take a back seat to that person? We're constantly in this place where we're fighting to secure our own very, very insecure identity and unstable identity, and to defend it and to assert it on other people. And when we're born again into relationship with Christ in baptism, and we're given our identity as sons and daughters of God, which can never be taken away, and there's nothing greater. There literally is not a greater identity. And this is one of the ways in which the deception of the world leads us into, what shall I say, reducing the value of what God has called us to, and reducing its true value, ignoring it. And we think other things that are glittering are more important in some way. And so the identity that the world wants to give to us, we're so susceptible to receiving it and to going after it, to be duped into taking it up, is because we're shaken. We're inside, we are insecure, that the fall has affected our conviction about who we are. We don't see it on our own, but Christ reveals it to us, and we see ourselves in Jesus. I remember I read this in the past, a beautiful quote from Pope Benedict XVI from a book called Jesus, the Apostles, and the Early Church. He said, Christian identity is composed of precisely two elements: this restraint from seeking oneself by oneself, but instead receiving oneself from Christ and giving oneself with Christ. What a radical difference. Just think about, throughout every day, 24/7, you could find millions of YouTubes. You could find articles and interviews and television programs where people are asserting their will to form their own identity, to create their own imaginative world of what is and what's good, what's true, all of that. The societal kind of agreement about the reality that we didn't create ourselves, that we did come from a creator, and that there's a design and a purpose, that now offends the present culture. That's an important sign for us to be able to see. We at one time did receive it, collectively even, perfectly no, but we did receive it. That was an act of humility, to acknowledge that we're not God, and that we didn't create ourselves. We didn't make this up. We aren't the ones who define what is true and good and where real human happiness can be found. I mean, we're lost, as W.H. Auden said, we're lost in a haunted wood here without seeing the light which comes from God, and that light is the light that shines in the darkness is a person. It's Jesus. And what does Jesus show? What light comes from him? It's the true revelation of what it means to be a creature, to be a human being, to be made in the image and likeness of God. It's the true way to happiness, to fulfillment, to a secure and profound identity that's going to lead to happiness forever. This world serves up counterfeits day and night, and we're suckers for it. We're susceptible to it because we're so insecure. And we're so plugged into those things, plugged into the media, plugged into the world of entertainment, 24/7, they're always preaching at us. This is the way to happiness. Possess this, have that, live here, act this way, behave this way, listen to this kind of music, wear these kinds of fashions, drive this kind of car, live in this kind of neighborhood, blah, 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 right? It's there all the time. But here again, Pope Benedict is just underlining in a very clear way, the only place humanity can find what we call identity, an identity that grounds us solidly. Christian identity, I'm reading it again. Christian identity is composed of precisely two elements. This restraint from seeking oneself by oneself. So we understand now he's talking about Christian people. And if they're authentically living their Christian life and they're walking in freedom as disciples, we know, as I said on Monday, we belong to another. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. In the world, to belong to someone else is slavery. So to belong to Christ is considered slavery, and it has to be rejected. Because I can't be free and I can't be happy if I'm not totally self-possessed myself, and the origin of my identity comes from me. So there's a collision. That's one way in which Christians are radically different than the world. Now, we tend to live in the twilight instead of coming fully into the light, because we're afraid to come fully in the light that it might ruin our weekend, we may not be respected by people, we might lose out in some way. We are tempted to believe that seductive lie. That's partly because we don't really know Christ. If we know him deep in our hearts, we know God's love, we know the power of God, the truth that's in Jesus, and we belong to him, the deceptions and these seductions of the world, these lies, these false identities won't lay hold of us. But if we don't trust the Lord, if we're afraid to go all in with him, if we're afraid to look different than the world, then we're going to live in the twilight, one foot in the kingdom, maybe one foot in the world. That's a bad place to be. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's a place of instability and insecurity. But again, the Christian restrains himself or herself from the temptation to seek one's identity on our own. I must assert it. Instead, the Christian is in a position of receptivity, of humility, of receiving an identity and a destiny from God. It's very different. The first is the temptation to assert my will, to be the definer of all things, and no one can stop me. Everybody must acknowledge my self-assertion, my design, my truth, my purpose. That's the fallen will, friends. That's the flesh. And it's everywhere today. And now there's not many grown-ups left in the public sphere in a way they used to be. There was more humility, especially post-World War II America, even though it was celebrating its victories. There was a lot of humility that came from that horrible, tragic war. There was some genuine self-examination, and the greatest generation had character. They knew they weren't God. They had humility. Look at how the churches were full. Look at how people live respectfully. Perfectly, no. But we fought for a particular national character that included a sense of understanding that we're all made in the image and likeness of God, that we're all meant to live with these characteristics and qualities that Jesus and the Judeo-Christian worldview express, and to be humble and to look to God, but not anymore. Because the modernist world, the modern world, the postmodern world, it's progressivism. They live by a totally different faith, which they have faith in the future, in progress, that everything is progressing toward an ever more positive future. That's baloney. It's not real. It's not true. It's a lie. You can't get there. First of all, it contradicts Scripture completely and the church's understanding of reality and human history. But you can't get there without the heart changing. So part of the heart change is moving from a heart that insists on its own way to a heart that's receptive. And we humbly receive ourselves from Christ. Jesus teaches me who I am. Jesus is the way for me. Jesus is the truth about me. Right? Jesus is the life that I long for. So we receive oneself from Christ and then give oneself with Christ. Jesus, we see the Lord, the disciple sees the Lord crucified and risen. In Catholic churches, I love the fact that we have crucifixes. It's so important because there we're seeing what it meant for Jesus to give himself to the Father, to totally abandon and entrust himself to God the Father. That will echo from through all eternity what the Son showed us. There on the cross, ironically, this is a sign of contradiction, is the ultimate revelation of truth and love. Right there. This is the way to total love, fulfillment. It's the definition of success and true greatness. Jesus on the cross, stripped, naked, bleeding, broken, is the most integrated, the healthiest, most loving human being, human person that ever lived. And right there on the cross, it's expressed perfectly. Behold the heart of God that so loves man. Behold the heart of God that so loves God, the Son of God, giving himself. And now in the Spirit, through baptism, we are united to Christ. Yes, you. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what your history is. I don't care how you feel right now. It is a fact. If you're baptized into Christ and you repent of your sins, you are united to him and your sins are washed clean and he's there ready to help you give yourself to the Father the way Jesus did, to receive your identity from Jesus. Pope Benedict says there in this receiving oneself from Christ and giving oneself with Christ, we participate in the life of Christ himself to the point of identifying with him and sharing both in his death and in his life. That's the future. Moreover, he said, our radical belonging to Jesus, belonging to Christ, and the fact that we are in him must imbue us in an attitude of total and immense joy. In short, we must indeed exclaim with Paul, if God is for us, who can be against us? He's singing. Paul is praising God. He's thanking God. It's like death has no hold on me anymore. Neither does this world. I don't have to prove anything to anybody in this world. I need to live in God, for God. I don't have to line up trophies in my life and prove to everybody that I'm something. I want to be what God wants me to be. I don't want to live in the world's collective deceit and the foolishness that it operates by, that somehow we've generated ourselves and we're all moving toward progress and we're fixing the world and we're making it better and all the rest. We need to try to do everything we can, but it's totally different to come from a place of having an identity in Christ and loving and respecting God's creation and seeking its proper order and place, than to come from the place of saying, no, we are our own masters. We're going to fix all this by our own technique, our own intelligence, our own power and our money. It's total lies. Friends, let's live freely and receive our identity from Christ. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.